नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पात् सुधविग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमेज्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहं प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुगे नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् इन्द्रियस्येन्द्रियस्यार्थे रागद्वेषौ व्यवस्थितौ तयोर्न वशमागच्छेत् तौ ह्यस्य परिपन्थिनौ. वेल् कन्क्लूडिङ्ग् हिस् टीचिङ्ग् वित् रिगार्ड् टु कर्मयोग, Bhagavan has pointed out that role of free will in human life. There are likes and dislikes in every mind. Human being need not succumb to those likes and dislikes. Human being has a special privilege called free will that should be utilized in handling the likes and dislikes. Likes and dislikes themselves are not wrong, and they cannot be destroyed completely also. Still, like animals, human being cannot succumb to those likes and dislikes. So in the last shloka, Bhagavan pointed out that the practice of karma yoga presupposes the using of free will. He told Arjuna, never allow your ragadvesha to overpower you. Indriyasya arthe ragadvesha vyavasthita. They are there. Likes and dislikes are, ragadvesha means likes and dislikes. They are there. But tayoho na vasham agacche. You don't become slave to them, because they are paripanthinav, they are obstacles in your spiritual marga, in spiritual growth. Therefore, never allow your ragadvesha to overpower your life. What should I do? For that reason, to handle them, to handle that ragadvesha, Bhagavan told, enlighten your free will by Shastram. The free will which happened to be the buddhi, that buddhi should be enlightened. So by taking the help of Shastram, either directly or indirectly through satsanga like this, enlighten your free will. All your transactions of life, classify them as dharma or adharma, either proper or improper. Two types of actions are there. So classify them as proper and improper actions. Then after classification, avoid by all means all the improper actions. Adharmic actions should be eschewed by all means, and stick to the practice of dharma only. Stick to the life of proper actions only. Because a karma yogi cannot be a karma yogi and simultaneously cannot be a dharmic person also. He cannot lead an unethical and immoral life, and at the same time he cannot claim that I am offering all my actions to the Lord. Like the old robbers, before going to robbery, they will ask the Bhagavan Vigneshwara or somebody to be our, same thing, robbery is continuing in a sophisticated way. Before going for robbery, they will ask the Bhagwan's blessing so that successful robbery will happen. So I will bring a percentage to you. Now you go to Venkatachalapati temple, all types of people will be there. That person cannot be a karma yogi. Bhagwan here talks about a karma yogi, not an artha bhakta or artharthi bhakta. Here he talks about the jignasu bhakta. So he cannot say that I will be an unethical person at the same time the karma yogi or a jignasu bhakta. So I can offer all the evil deeds like that. He cannot say. That argument will not work with the Lord. He cannot fool the Lord. Therefore Bhagavan says, avoid all the adharmic actions by using your free will, by strengthening your free will by shastram and satsanga. Bhagavan continues. Shreyan swadharmo vigunaha paradharmatvanushtitad swadharme nidhanam shreyaha paradharmo bhayavaha. In this shloka, Bhagavan goes one more step further in clarifying the karma yoga. In the last shloka, he told, you should have the conviction to follow dharma only in your life, and those dharmic actions should be performed as Ishvara puja. That becomes the karma yoga. Then the question comes, there are so many types of dharmas. Which one should I follow? Brahmana dharma, Kshatriya dharma, Vaishya dharma, Shudra dharma, Brahmachari dharma, Grahastha dharma, Sanyasi dharma, Vanaprastha dharma, Sri dharma, Purusha dharma, so many dharma, Samanya dharma, so many dharmas are there. All are dharmas only, all are proper things only. Which one should I follow? Bhagavan says, follow your own dharma. Follow your own dharma. That is called swadharma. My own dharma is called swa. Swa means my own. Dharma means the proper action. Follow your own swadharma, he says. Then the question comes, how to determine certain actions as my swadharma? First question is what? How to avoid all the evil actions or improper actions or adharma? Bhagavan told, make your free will as a strong one, enlighten it and say no to the things which are improper. Then perform duties. Whose duties? How can I determine which are all my duties? Then Bhagavan is telling now, first determine your designation, then your duties will be determined. So what is the duties of a prime minister? The question comes. First the person should be designated, he is so and so. Then after designation, all his duties will come. Then only others can point out it is omission, it is commission. Keeping silence when scams are rampant, keeping silence is omission on your part. Therefore you have violated the duties. So this same sentence cannot be told to an ordinary citizen. Because ordinary citizen don't have any other means than keeping mum. Because scams are rampant in the country, so he cannot say anything. But prime minister cannot say, I also don't have any power. So all duties are determined by designation. So therefore, first define your designation in life, then automatically what will be your duties will be clear to you. Then the question comes, how to determine my designation? Bhagavan here says, keeping your natural inclinations, keeping your natural inclinations and stage of life, you can define your designation. We saw in the previous classes, there are four types of natural inclinations. Inclinations means what? Naturally that person is happy to do or involved in those type of activities. Only four types of activities are possible or conceivable even in any society, not only in Vedic society, in any society. What are they? We know that Brahmanaha. Brahmanaha is a person Tattvaguna Pradhani, because three gunas are there in everyone. Depending upon their proportion, person's inclinations, propensities differs. Suppose if a person is a sattvic person, predominantly sattvic person, backed by rajas and least is tamas, so he will be called as a brahmanaha. He is committed to knowledge, pursuit of knowledge. He is committed to teaching. He pursues that knowledge and he propagates that knowledge. That person is called brahmanaha. We call him sattva, rajas, tamas. The proportion is SRT. S equal to sattva, R is equal to rajas, and T is equal to tamas. Then second category is, in this first category only, all the scientists and all the teachers of various sciences, department of sciences, and all the sannyasins who take the spiritual science as their life, all they come under that. Sattvaguna Pradhanis, they are all called Brahmanaha. Then comes Kshatriyaha. Kshatriyaha, the formula for Kshatriya is RST. Rajas predominant, Sattva backed, Tamas is the least. He is committed for social security. He is committed to protecting the society. The third one is Vaishya community, RTS. Rajas Pradhani, but Tamas backed, Sattva is least. Therefore, he becomes a selfish fellow. He becomes a cheat. So, all businessmen invariably cheat the society and bring the money also to the society. One society they cheat, to another society they bring the money. They are the producers of the wealth. But that cheating is license allowed. 20% you can cheat. Profit margin means nothing but it's an allowed licentious cheating. Therefore, it is called profit margin 20%. More than that, if you go, then it is a maha cheater. There are some people who can take the national resources like 2G spectrum, but 4,000 crores, 5,000 crores, 2 lakh crores, like that they are. That is too much. So they are not in any four categories. This is Vedic classification, and this classification holds to any society which is sane society. Then fourth category is Shudraha, Tamas Pradhani, TRS, backed by Rajas and least is Sattva. He is the helping hand, he is the legs and hands of the entire society. All the three other above categories have the capacity to think and design their way of life. This fourth category doesn't have thinking capacity, but he has a capacity called obedience. Obey, he will obey. If the employer says you don't have leave, you have to work for 12 hours today, he will obey. He has the tenacity to obey. But other three are not able to obey, that they don't have. So the fourth category also is a great one. So without the fourth category, all the three categories cannot implement all their decisions. So in our society, these four, all the four categories were given equal opportunity to grow in spiritual life. All the four segments have only one goal. What is that? Inner maturity, getting inner maturity and happiness and joy in spite of the external turbulence. That is the goal. We call it moksha or ananda prapti. In any society you can find these four categories only. They may name differently. Somebody will be there as thinking people, somebody will be there as ruling people, somebody will be there as people who can produce the wealth, and somebody will be there to help all the other three categories. So these four are natural inclinations. According to the natural inclinations, if he takes the profession, then there will not be any friction. Now, because of unemployment problem, his natural inclination is towards botany, and he gets work in banking cashier, MSc botany, bank cashier. What he does? Bank cashier. So all the time he waits for holidays. He waits for holidays. Every weekend is a joyful occasion for him. Why? Because his natural inclination is somewhere else. Now no other way. He has to earn his livelihood. Therefore, he wrote some examination. By luck, he got this cashier post. So he has to go on, count the money. He is bored. That's why he shows his face and somebody comes. Just 2 minutes later, you go to any bank official. Then he'll show his face. Why? Because he's not interested.
Anything I am interested, I will not bother about extending the working time. Since I am not interested, so I wait for time to go. So any government office you go, even if 10:30, office time is 10 o'clock, 10:30, so nobody will be there in the bench. He is coming, sir, like that they will tell. You go 11 o'clock, they will tell he has come, he has gone to tea. You go by 12 o'clock, he has gone to meeting. Which meeting we don't know, whether the official meeting or other meeting we don't know. Then 1 o'clock you go, he has gone to lunch. 2:30 you go, he has not yet come. 3 o'clock you go, he has come, just now he has gone for tea. So if the person is not available, the table at all. Why? Because his natural inclination is somewhere else and his profession happened to be some other department, therefore he doesn't relish them. Here Bhagavan says, decide your designation. Designation means what? Profession. Social designation means nothing but profession according to your natural inclinations. And there are 4 stages of life: Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasi. Brahmachari is committed to, now there is no Brahmachari at all. Only 2 categories there, either Grahastha or Sannyasi, that's all. Neither Brahmachari is available nor Vanaprastha is available, because Vana itself is not there, forest itself is not there. Where is the question of Vanaprastha? Brahmacharya is not at available because nobody studies the Vedic study. The main duty of Brahmachari is Vedic study. Not only that, the entire period of study, learning period must be with full of austerity and tapas. The tapas is there and purity is there, chastity is there, Brahmacharya is kept intact. Nowadays, 7th standard student also, nowadays says 143. Did I tell you that 143 joke? So one small girl came, we have one tuition center here. We have one tuition center in the next compound of our ashrama. A small girl, 7th standard girl came and cryingly she told, Swamiji, he is telling 143, 143. I could not understand what is the meaning of 143 and what is there in telling 143 also. Number it is nothing but number. Then I asked, so what is there 143, you also tell 144. Then she was crying. Then I called some other boys, what she wants to say, I don't understand, you tell. So that fellow also was very much shy, he knew, like that, he went away. Then I caught hold of second fellow. Hey, you tell now, I don't understand why she is crying. She is telling 143 why. Then that boy told, 143 means, I love you. Which age? It is 7th standard maybe. Just 12-year-old child or 11-year-old child. So where is the Brahmacharya now? The idea of sex has entered the modern mind because of media, because of insensitivity of the parents. In front of children, parents do all the nonsense. So from the childhood onwards, the idea of sex and violence has entered and polluted that mind. So where is the question of chastity? Where is the question of chastity? Maybe in some life, there may be some physical chastity, but mental chastity is very, very rare in this modern generation. If the child is born and brought up in a Vedic culture and he is introduced to Gurukula life, there is a possibility of those types of Brahmacharya life. But now it is very rare thing. And Grihastha. Grihastha is a person who is committed to service. He should take care of all the other categories. He should take care of Brahmachari, student, children and the sannyasins and the retired people. So lot of responsibilities are there. And Vanaprastha is a person who is committed to seclusion and inner leisure. People after getting retirement also, very much they are searching for second job. The logic is, we cannot keep quiet. Because we don't know how to keep quiet. Therefore we cannot keep quiet. Never taught by anyone, especially this generation, retiring generation, don't have the value for that keeping quiet. That inner leisure, inner seclusion. Then of course, sannyasi who is committed to uphold all the higher human ideals. All the 4 categories are now dwindling. More or less, we say that way is somehow managing. That is not our dosha. Bhagavatam says it is Kali dosha. Remedy also is given in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavan Nama Sankirtana. Here, for our context, Bhagavan says, take these 2 factors while deciding your designation.
What is your designation in social life and what is the designation in your personal life? While deciding your designation, consider your natural propensities and age of life. That particular designation will define your duty. That defined duty is called swadharmaha. All other duties are called paradharmaha. They are dharmaha only, but paradharmaha. As far as you are concerned, they are paradharmaha. So, while deciding your designation, Bhagavan told that never allow your likes and dislikes to decide. Never allow the material profits and loss. Never allow the salary factor in deciding your designation. But unfortunately, modern society suffers because of this only. Because one segment, 1 lakh rupees, another segment, 10,000 rupees. So all people go for suffer. For 5 years they will go. Then all will go for, in our time it was banking, bank post, that of banking employment. So all went for that. Then after that all went for doctor. All went for the engineer. Now all for suffer. What makes the society like a sheepish group? Money. Our culture says no. You cannot withstand with those things. If you decide your designation in life, keeping the material profits only as the criterion, then one day or the other day you will ask a question to yourself, what I benefited by this? After 5 years, 10 years, you will ask, what is the benefit I received? Therefore, never allow your likes and dislikes to decide, nor the idea of profit and material loss to decide your designation, to decide your swadharma. Keep in your mind, there is a natural inclination, so that when you work in that same profession, there will not be much friction, there will not be wastage of energy. That's why in our culture in India, you can see carpentry work, if you say, take one piece of carpentry work, marvelous work it is, because he has given his whole soul and heart. There is no hurry for him to complete within the day. So he can work on and on and on, and you go to any Tamil Nadu temple, sculptures, it is marvelous, because entire soul and heart was there when he was working. That type of commitment we don't find in any profession nowadays, because all professions are now written by money factors. So society suffers with a lot of problems. That is another topic. Now here Bhagavan says in this shloka, hey Arjuna, you are a Rajogana Pradhani. You are a Kshatriya. You are not a Sattvaguna Pradhani. If you are a Sattvaguna Pradhani, 13 years you are in the forest, you could have meditated. Not a single day I saw you sitting meditation. Whenever I came, either you went to heaven trip or you went to Himalaya trip to get that Paspadastra from Shiva. So all the time you are working for weaponry and astras, shastras, like that only. So you are not a Sattvaguna Pradhani, nor you are a Tamasik Pradhani, sleeping. So you are very active with regard to shastra and astra. Therefore, you should lead a action-oriented life. But see that all those actions should be your own swadharmic actions, your own swadharma. Because actions means any action. Any action we cannot do, our own defined duties only we can do. Bhagavan says, even if you are imperfect in performing your swadharma, don't try to give up them. Do not try to perform others' duty. Here he says, vigunaha api swadharmaha shreyan. Vigunaha means vigata gunaha. Vigata gunaha means even though it is imperfect. Like a kshatriya, when he fights a war, he has to kill some people. So killing is a papam. That's a vigata gunaha. It is a sinful act. But still, don't give up that being your own duty. Performing one's own duty is better, even if it is performed imperfectly. Better than what? The question comes. Paradharma su anushtita. Better than the perfect performance of others' duty.
వైల్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయినింగ్ ది శ్లోక మై ఆచార్య స్వామిజీ ఈస్ టు టెల్ ఎ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ఇన్సిడెంట్ దేర్ వాజ్ ఎ వాచ్ మ్యాన్ ఆఫ్ ఎ రిచ్ పర్సన్ దట్ రిచ్ మ్యాన్ హ్యాడ్ ఎ ప్లాన్ టు ఫ్లై టు ఢిల్లీ నెక్స్ట్ డే ఎర్లీ మార్నింగ్ బై 7 o'clock సంథింగ్ బట్ ద ప్రీవియస్ నైట్ ద వాచ్ మ్యాన్ డ్రీమ్డ్ ఎ పెక్యూలియర్ డ్రీమ్ అబౌట్ దిస్ ఓనర్ దట్ మాస్టర్ ఆఫ్ దట్ హౌస్ దట్ హీ వాస్ గోయింగ్ టు ట్రావెల్ ఇన్ ఎ ఫ్లైట్ అండ్ ద ఫ్లైట్ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు హ్యావ్ ఎ క్రాష్ యాక్సిడెంట్ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు హ్యాపన్ అండ్ హీ ఈస్ డైయింగ్ లైక్ దట్ హీ సా వన్ డ్రీమ్ సో హీ వెంట్ అండ్ టోల్డ్ టు ది మాస్టర్ సార్ ప్లీజ్ డోంట్ గో టుడే ట్రావెల్ ప్లీజ్ చేంజ్ యువర్ డేట్ ఐ డ్రీమ్డ్ లైక్ దిస్ అండ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ అన్ ఎర్లీ మార్నింగ్ డ్రీమ్ ఆల్సో సో దేర్ ఈస్ ఎ బిలీఫ్ ఇన్ అవర్ ఫ్యామిలీ దట్ ఎనీ ఎర్లీ మార్నింగ్ dream will come into true, so please avoid your journey, don't go like this. Seeing his loving persuasion, master, that rich man, postponed his journey, and peculiarly he found that particular flight crashed. He avoided the journey, he postponed the journey, but that flight crashed, so accident happened. So master really thought, this fellow saved my life. So he called that watchman. He told to watchman, really thankful to you, you saved my life. Therefore I am going to give you a great honor, a new gift. After giving that gift, he told, from today onwards you are dismissed from your duty. Then the watchman was shocked. What is this? I helped you, saved your life. You also acknowledged that I saved your life. Then why you are dismissing? Master told, see, your dream is a perfect dream. There is no error in that dream at all. You saved me because of your dream. But watchmen are not supposed to dream at all. A sleeping or dreaming watchman is not useful for me. Paradharmasu anushtita viganaha sadharmaha. Sadharmaha, he has not followed his dharma. This incident he is to tell, my Acharya Swamiji is to tell. So here Bhagavan says, Vigunaha api sadharmaha shreyaha paradharmasu anushtita paradharma. Not only it is better, but it protects you from acquiring unwanted troubles. Bhagavan says, paradharmo bhayavaha. Performing others' duties will invite you more and more unwanted troubles. For example, suppose somebody comes to our house and tries to steal. What we do? What is our duty? What we will do generally? It is our duty to catch it. Because otherwise if we don't catch, not only our money will go, neighbor's money also will go. So it is our duty as a responsible citizen, it is our duty to catch it. Then after catching, generally what we do? Give nice gifts. That should not be. We have the right to catch that thief, but we don't have the right to punish that thief. Suppose if a person punishes that thief, suppose, and the thief dies in that punishment, will the law of court will accept your action? Giving the punishment belongs to the court and judge. You cannot take that in your hand and you cannot perform it. If you try to perform it, it will invite lot of other problems also. So it is like you are in a traffic jam and you find one lean, Namke was there, one traffic police is there, lean fellow, you could not manage the traffic at all. You find that you can help him. So you drop your car or bike and go there. Your mind is precise in handling the situation. So you handle the situation and clear the traffic. What will happen after clearing the traffic, you know? The police will come and tell, "Arey, it is my duty. You cannot have that duty. So come to police station because you have taken my responsibility without anybody to give that responsibility." So, paradharmat swanushtitat paradharmo ayavahaha. In Mahabharata, Dhritarashtra asked a question to Vidura. Who is eligible for samudra magnam? Samudra magnam means drowning a living person in the sea. So it's a capital punishment, very cruel punishment, because he is going to be a living person, he will suffer a lot of suffering. So it is going to be a cruel punishment. Who is eligible for this punishment? So Vidura says, two types of fellows are eligible. One type is a sannyasi who tries to make money. A sannyasi who tries to make the money, and an householder who doesn't want to make the money. Both fellows should be tied with a big stone. Because ordinarily if you are drowned, you will come out. So he should be tied with huge stone, boulder. So he will be tied with that boulder, and because of his tying, he cannot swim. So very weight of that stone will take him down. So death is confirmed. So who is eligible for this death? Vidura says, a sannyasi who wants to earn money, and a grihastha and householder who doesn't want to earn money. Both these fellows are eligible for the samudra mantra. That means what? Both are living in the same society, but one person's duty is not another person's duty. A sannyasi should never try to earn, and a grihastha should all the time earn in a dharmic way. Both who are violating, they are eligible for this samudra makana. So swadharma differs from person to person. One's duty is not for another. Maybe it is a counterprotective also. If you try to do somebody's duty, it will be a counterprotective. In Himalayas, if you go, there are two people are there, naturally, everywhere. Recently, I had been to Amarnath and other places. Everywhere, two categories there. One category is sannyasis. Another category is, side by side, military people. Sannyasis, only one lathi they have, just a staff, a lathi, small kamandalu, that's all, no other possession with them. And our military men also don't have any other possession, only AK-47 there. Both are living in the same border area only. Minus 20, minus 10, like that border area. Both are living. Suppose a terrorist enters, suppose, crossing the border, a terrorist enters the country. What should a sannyasi should do? Can he take that AK-47 from military officer and go and shoot? Or can the military officer say, ahimsa paramo dharma, I am living with sadhus, all the time living with sadhus, I have become now a sattvic person. What is there? Anybody can come and go. Entire world is Bhagavan Srishti. Can army man say? Both are living in same places. For both of them, situation is the same. Whose duty is what? So, it may be a counter-protective. Somebody's duty may be a counter-protective for me. Therefore, Bhagavan gives a judgment with regard to the performance of duty. Swadharme nidhanam shreyaha. Beautiful judgment. You be ready to even die in performing your duties. Don't bother about the material gains and losses. Death in swadharma is better than performing others' duties. Don't be afraid of death while performing your duty. Another Acharya Swamiji, while describing the shloka beautifully, he says, you just imagine there is a machine. Machine means there will be a lot of screws, nut and bolts and pistols, so many things are there. So what is the duty of pistol? It will be going, coming, going back, coming back, going, coming, going, coming. What is the duty of nut and bolt? It should be tightly sitting. It should sit tightly. It cannot afford to even move even an inch. So the pistol fellow says, pistol fellow criticizes the nut and bolt. Hey, you fellows don't do any work at all. Simply tightly sitting. And you see me, I am going on, coming, going, coming, going. So much active I am. You fellows, useless fellows, suppose. If pistol says, what should nut and bolt? If they are intelligent nut and bolt, they will say, okay, okay, it is your duty to go and come. My duty is what? Keep tightly. I cannot move an inch. But pistol fellow is arrogant, so go on, criticizes. Daily he was go on telling.
So one day the nut and bolt got fed up and told, all right, I also will move like you. So what will happen? Entire mechanism will fail. So in society also, the mechanism called entire creation, there are some people who are made as nut and bolt. They cannot move. They cannot do certain actions. They are not supposed to do. If they also imitate the other fellow, then what will happen? Entire social fabric will get destroyed. That's why I told you, I remember, the summa irukkira swami ki rendu patta kodu. The swami who is silently keeping quiet, doing nothing, he should be given two portions of food. Because keeping quiet also is difficult. That's another duty. Like nut and bolt. Nut and bolt cannot say, I also will go along with you. I also move. Let me also a useful member of the mechanism. We cannot say. Because its utility is in keeping quiet. Piston's utility is in moving. Similarly, in society also, some people's utility is in moving, in actively participating in the external life action. Some people's utility is in just keeping quiet and thinking and sharing result of their thinking. That is also important. Therefore, one person cannot imitate the another person. So one person's duty cannot be the another person's duty. That's why in complete verse of Swami Vivekananda says, each one is great in his own place. You might have come across that. It's a golden sentence based on this only, Vedanta. Each one is great in his own place. And he quotes two examples. One is a householder, another is a sannyasi. There was a sannyasi, he went to so many cities. One city he come across, a big function, then he just peeped inside and saw what the fun is going on. Daughter of a king is trying to choose someone as the bridegroom. The sannyasi just went as an observer, just he stood, just time being. Seeing that sannyasi, that king's daughter was fascinated, seeing his stages, she was fascinated. So she decided that sannyasi as the bridegroom for her marriage. So she tried to put the mala on his neck. The sannyasi simply threw it away. What nonsense, all these things. So they ran away. But this princess did not leave. So she goes on searching for him. Finally she was caught in the deep forest. Nobody was there to help her. Then that night when she was trying to hide herself under the tree, there some dialogue was going on. There is a family of birds. Father bird says, hey, there is a guest under the tree. So they have come near the house. It is our duty to feed them. Then mother bird says, no, we don't have anything to feed. How can we feed? Like that. Then father bird says, no, somehow or the other we have to feed. In that process, even if we are going to sacrifice our own life, it doesn't matter. So mother bird also agreed for them. So father bird went and brought out some fire and just dropped in front of that girl. So she got some warm. Then father bird told, now I am going to enter into the fire so that I will be the food for that girl. Then mother told, no, you should not go, I should go. I will enter into the fire first. Then children bird were there, three or four birds were there. So they are telling, no, father, mother should be taken care of by children. We will enter into that fire. We will sacrifice our life in order to entertain the guest. So in the process, all the birds went into the fire, thinking that that will be the food for the guest. Swamiji, after telling the story, he said, if he is a householder, he should be like the birds, which are ready to sacrifice their own life for the sake of another person. If he is a sannyasi, even if the most beautiful person in the world comes to marry him, or even if the whole kingdom is going to come to him as a reward of marriage, still he should keep his renunciation. So both are great in their own place. That story Swamiji is to tell. With this shloka, Bhagavan concludes the entire Karma Yoga teaching. It started with the question that if Jnana Yoga is greater than the Karma Yoga, why should I follow Karma Yoga? That was the question of the third chapter. Bhagavan explained the entire gamut of Vedic teaching with regard to lifestyle. That Vedic vision of human life is what? In a gist, brief way, we will try to, because it's a very elaborate class, so I want you to remember all the salient features. What is the vision of human life, Vedic vision of human life? Unanimously, Veda and all the Mahatmas and Rishis say, goal of human life is Purnatvam, fulfillment, Ananda Praptihi, happiness, being happy unconditionally. Everyone wants that only. So in other words, it is called Mokshaha. Then what is the means for that? Atma Jnanam is the means. Knowing our own higher nature is the only means. So immediately, everyone is not eligible to know that ultimate knowledge. Therefore, he is asked to prepare himself. That is called Yogyata Praptihi. The Yogyata Praptihi, qualifying himself with renunciation and other necessary mental faculties, he should try to do Karma Yoga. Through Karma Yoga, he can get that Yogyata Prapti. Bhagavan started Jnana Yogena Sankhyana Karma Yogena Yogina. Those who have already qualified themselves in the previous Janmas, they can go directly to the Jnana Marga. Those who are yet to qualify, they should take the Karma Marga only. Then what is that Karma Marga, Karma Yoga Marga? Bhagavan defined it, Ishwara Arpana Buddhya So Dharma Anushtana. Performing one's own duty as the Ishwara Arpana, as the worship of the Lord. While receiving that result of that duties, he should receive it as a Prasada Buddhi. Prasada Buddhya Karma Phala Svikaranam. Both put together is called Karma Yoga. Bhagavan told, 99% of the humanity is eligible for Karma Yoga only. 99% of the humanity are eligible for Karma Yoga only, and avoiding Karma Yoga or avoiding the active way of life will not be useful. He gave the four reasons. Inaction, a life of inaction, will not guarantee freedom, will not guarantee knowledge. And total inaction in human life is not possible at all, second reason. Then third reason, inactive life is highly risky. Externally he may be inactive, internally very active. He will be an hypocrite. So lots of desires will be there, internally very active with desires, externally he may pretend that he doesn't have any desire at all. So inactive life without preparation is very highly risky, and it may lead to hypocritic life. And active life without this Karma Yoga Buddhi, I am ready to act here, but I don't have Karma Yoga Buddhi, then also it's problematic, because it will bind that person from one bondage to another bondage. Therefore, Karma Yoga is a means. Then Karma Yoga can be practiced with four types of attitudes. Bhagavan explained this. One attitude is Ishwara Ajna, performing all my duties because it is the order of the Lord. It is the prescription of the Lord. Niyatam kuru karmatvam karma jayohya karmanaha sharira yatra apichate na prasiddheta karmanaha. Niyatam kuru, it is a niyatam. There is no place for your likes and dislikes. It is already ordered. This is one type of attitude. Second attitude is Ishwara Puja. In that attitude of order, there is an element of fear. Fear element is there. Stick, punishment. Otherwise, Bhagavan will get angry. Mothers will tell to the children, if you don't go to Ganesha temple, Ganesha will poke your eyes. Gone. Devotion to Ganesha, totally gone. Sami, Kanna Kuttidam. So So that element of fear is there, but still it works with certain level of people, but that is not the healthy attitude. Therefore Bhagavan suggested second attitude called Ishvara Puja. Yajnata karmanon yatra lokoyam karma vandanaha tadartam karma kaunteya mukta sanga samachara. Do all your duties for the sake of Lord as the puja. Other than these puja duties, other than these duties which are offered as puja, all other actions, all other duties are going to be a binding factor. Then third attitude was chitta shuddhyartham. In order to purify your own mind, in order to prepare your mind for the jnana prapti, yajna shishta ashina santaha muchyante sarva kilbishai. In order to purify the mind, third attitude, fourth attitude, at least for the sake of perpetuation of dharma, for the sake of dharma rakshanartham, perpetuation of, there is an universal cycle, it is going on. You are the receiver at some end. Everything was given to you, parentage was given to you, body was given to you, all natural elements were given to you, society is given to you, knowledge is given to you, buddhi is given to you. When you are in the receiving end, you should be a contributor also. Just for what? Not as a great thing. It is your duty to contribute being a receiver. He told that annat bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anna sambhavaha. Like that there is a cycle. Food cycle is taken here. Food is due to rain. Rain is due to yajna. Yajna is due to karma. So one should perpetuate this cycle, universal cycle. So any of the attitude, whichever suits his mentality, he can take it. And Bhagavan told, even though a person, a jnani, a wise man, doesn't need this karma yoga, as long as he stays in the society, he also should follow those duties. Not as karma yoga, but as loka santraham. For the benefit of the society, he has to perform those duties. If the person is a ignorant person, it will be named as karma yoga. If he is a wise person, it will be named as loka sangraham, activities meant for society's welfare. He told, yadad acharati sreshtaha tatta devi darojanaha. Human society is like sheepish society. It will follow the popular person's lifestyle only. Blindly it will imitate. Therefore, a popular person, an influencing person, should be a model one. He should be a man of dharma. Therefore, he has to perform all his duties. And Bhagavan quoted himself as the example for this. Name parthasti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana nanavaptam avaptavyam varta evacha karmani. I don't have anything to gain, I don't have anything to lose, but still from the day one onwards, hey Arjuna, you know, I am active, violently active. Though I don't have anything to gain or lose. And na buddhi vedam janaye dajnanam karma sanghina joshaye sarva karmani vidwan ikta samacharam. Wise man should not confuse the ignorant society. Therefore, even though it is not necessary for him to perform puja, to go to temple, to do certain activities, but still has to do them as the exemplary person. Then while concluding, Bhagavan told about the practical suggestion how to perform this karma yoga. It is nice as long as it is theory. So what are all the practical suggestions he gave? Keep your balance of mind intact. Told, mahi sanjvani karmani sanyasyadhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmama bhutva yudhyasva vikata jvaraha. Do all your duties without the fever called mental anxiety, offering to me all your karma and receiving the fruits as my prasada. Then he told, never allow your raga dvesha, whims and fancies, likes and dislikes to overpower your life. Use your free will and shastram in deciding dharma, righteousness, and in deciding your swadharma, your own duty, use your free will in avoiding adharma and use your free will in practicing swadharma. And finally, in the last shloka, he told, never give up your swadharma, even if there is going to be a material loss. Shreyan swadharmo vijunaha paradharma sanushtita swadharme nidhanam shreyaha paradharmo bhayavaha. And after telling all these things, if you ask, what is the benefit of taking lot of struggle? Not going to be an easy affair, controlling my likes and dislikes, not allowing my whims and fancies to come out. So why should I struggle in this way? Why should I follow this karma yoga? And Bhagavan told, if any person follows this karma yoga, what is that benefit? Ananda prapti. Ultimately he will gain moksha or atma jnana. Yeme matamidam nityam anutishtanti manavaha shraddhavanto anasuyantaha tepi muchyate karma vihi. They will be free from all types of mental fetters, psychological leanings. Will be free from all types of mental problems. If not followed, what will be their fate? Bhagavan told, it is a great loss. Human life will be a great loss. Ete tvadapyasuyantaha nanutishtanti me matam. One who doesn't follow my matam, sarvajnana vimudhanstan vidhi nashtan achetataha. Hey Arjuna, know that their life is an utterly waste and they are the foolish people. Because even to live a normal, social, happy, healthy life in the society, a person should have this attitude. What is that attitude? Not allowing our whims and fancies to decide the course of life. Now, Arjuna understood the importance of karma yoga. He is convinced about the benefit of karma yoga also. Lot of benefits are there. Ihaloka benefit, here lot of frictions can be avoided, lot of expectations can be avoided. Lot of expectations are avoided means what? Lot of disappointments are avoided. So he is convinced about the immediate benefit and he is convinced about the future benefit, which will be in the form of moksha. He has a doubt now. After this, karma yoga is not going to be elaborated in Gita. This is the third chapter, exclusively concentrates on karma yoga. Second chapter concentrated on jnana yoga and lightly touched about karma yoga. Jnana yoga, we all know, at the present stage, it is going beyond our head. At least karma yoga, we can try to understand and try to implement one or two ideas. So now he has a practical doubt. If karma yoga is so nice and wonderful and beneficial, if swadharma anushtanam guarantees happiness in present life and freedom from all the future troubles, still why humanity fails to follow? Because everyone wants to be happy without problems. And you say this karma yoga attitude is going to make the person happy and without proud. But still why humanity fails to follow swadharma? What is that affecting factor? We cannot say that it is ajnana, dharma, dharma, ajnana. He doesn't know right and wrong, therefore he did. Cannot say, because as I told, even thief knows telling lie is equal to wrong. As I told, thief also knows telling lie is wrong. That's why he says, don't tell lie, give your chavi, where is your chavi, don't tell lie, he says. He knows that being caught by police, he will get lot of beating. So harming others is wrong, he also knows. That's why he is doing that hiding. So we cannot say, so and so person is ignorant about the dharma and adharma, therefore he has done wrong. We cannot say. And we cannot say, the person is not at all interested in good things of life, not at all interested in happiness. We cannot say, because everyone wants happiness only. Still, what makes a person to say, like Duryodhana? Duryodhana told, Janami dharmam nachame pravruttihi, Janami adharmam nachame nivruttihi, kenapi devena hrutisthitena yatha niyuktosmi tatha karo. Bhagavan asked, why you are doing all these akrama? Duryodhana told, Krishna, don't think that, I don't know. I know, janami. But what to do? Nachame pravritti. My mind doesn't want to follow. Janami adharma. What is wrong, I know. But still I am not able to resist myself. I find Krishna, kenapi devena. There is a mysterious factor in my heart and leading me to do all the actions whatever I am doing. Escapist method. What is that force? He comes with a practical question. What is that extraneous factor, powerful force, which obstructs a person in following his swadharma, which make the human being to go against his own wishes? He want to be good only, but still he does. Everyone wants to get up early morning 4 o'clock. Therefore only he puts alarm also. But there is a factor called a snooze. What is that factor which makes me to use that snooze? What is that factor which makes me to go to questionable places like pubs and drinking places in spite of my knowledge that drinking is not good for health? All doctors know, but many of the doctors, you find their personal life is full of drugs, one type or the other type. Either they are drunk or from the very college itself those things are introduced. You go to any college, lot of injections, drug pills, bottles after bottles, all things that they know it is harmful to their health. But still, why? I am not particularly pointing out one segment. Everyone knows what is right and wrong, but still, what is that which is obstructing me in following the proper thing only? With that question, Arjuna is going to come. Bhagavan will deal the entire problem as a practical human problem. Not that humanity is ignorant, not that he doesn't want to get that benefit from the nice things of life, but still, in spite of his wish, something is obstructing him in following the righteous way of life. What is that problem? How to overcome that problem? What are all the source strength of that problem? Those details Bhagavan will deal in the next shlokas. We will see in the next class. कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय हरये परमात्मने प्रणव क्लेशनाशाय गोविंदाय नमो नमः.